Welcome back to The Word Wine. I'm your host, Sarah, and with me is my co-host, Justin.
Hello.
And Hannah on the controls.
Oh, hi, guys.
And this week we're going to talk, or this month, I guess, we're talking about fantasy. Fantasy fiction.
So we were talking earlier about how we had sort of not remembered, we misunderstood. I always think of fantasy and sci-fi together. And so half of my notes were about sci-fi books.
Gotcha.
And he's like, we're talking about sci-fi. And I was like, no. No, we're not. No.
Yeah, because they're often obviously very closely interlinked, and lots of the people that read fantasy read sci-fi or vice versa. So I was thinking about doing one episode for the two of them, but then I was like, they're distinct enough. I think we could get away with two, an episode on about each. So
I like the idea, because I don't know a lot about fantasy. Maybe I know some, but I don't know a lot about fantasy or sci-fi. And so having separate episodes so that I can learn, because this is about me.
Yes. This whole podcast is about you, Justin.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you for reaffirming all that I've always believed. That's nice of you guys. But yeah, I want to learn more about sci-fi. I have historically, I've had a really hard time reading or seeing sci-fi. I said it again. Fantasy. I'd really like to understand both of them, but since we're talking about fantasy today, I should probably start saying the word fantasy.
Fantasy, yes.
I'm just going to call it sci-fi. But I want to learn, because I want to get more into it. So
yeah, cool. And honestly, it was one of those situations where, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I was like, I know a lot about this subject. And then I was like researching, and I was like, oh, I don't know a lot about this subject. So
I was having that problem when I was looking through, like, hey, what are your favorites in this genre? Because I read specifically a lot of urban fantasy and not just fantasy.
Right, fantasy.
And I was like, I don't necessarily want all of my stuff to be, oh, here's more urban fantasy. Here's more urban fantasy. Have you heard of this urban fantasy? Have you heard of this one?
See, urban fantasy is a great place for me to start asking questions, because fantasy, what does fantasy mean? Does it mean not magic in just olden times, but just magic, period?
I did a bunch of research. I got a bunch of stuff from mainly Wikipedia. But I also read like a masterclass article. There's a website called bookgenres.com, toomuchtowrite.com, and findmeanauthor.com. So
man, Sarah does not joke around. No. I was doing all of this last night.
I researched the wrong thing. So well, thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, of course. So they all have their own definitions of what fantasy is. So I kind of combined everything into what I feel like is the simplest definition of what fantasy is. So it's basically a genre of literature that features magical and supernatural elements that do not exist in the real world.
Magical and supernatural.
Yeah.
So if that happens in space, it's still fantasy then?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's happening because of technology, and then it's sci-fi.
And then it's sci-fi.
Hmm.
So
like mechanical dragons in space? Sci-fi.
Right.
Is there a book where that happens? Because I would like to read that. There is?
I'll have to find the title. Oh, there goodness. Is a book with mechanical dragons.
Mechanical dragons sound amazing. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Mechanical dragons do sound good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd read that book on that alone. That's all you have to put as your book review. Just, there are mechanical dragons.
Mechanical dragons.
Take my money.
So, along with all that, I mean, they're usually set in like a fanciful invented world or like a legendary mythic past. Although sometimes authors will write them in a modern setting as well.
That's when you get into the urban fantasy.
Right, yeah.
Urban fantasy is modern settings.
Mm-hmm. So would Gaiman be in urban fantasy then?
That's where it gets a little fuzzy, because he's technically contemporary fantasy, which is also set in the modern world. Whereas urban fantasy is hard to define. Sometimes hard for the distinction. I feel like in contemporary fantasy, it's kind of like existing alongside, and you just don't notice it, you know?
Okay.
Whereas in urban fantasy,
whisper fantasy.
Okay.
Where, like, the magic is kind of a whisper into the world. Mm-hmm. Like the devil in Constantine.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. There's that suggestion magic. Okay.
Yeah.
And that really
light. Gaiman is contemporary, whereas something like Patricia Briggs with her Moon Called series is urban.
Okay.
And so for urban, I feel like it's more of like an underground or...
There's like a dark layer of the world.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of. That's
so like Buffy style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So here's a question then, just because I want to jam everything up right away. That's how I like to start the morning.
Let's do it.
One of my favorite fantasy book series is called Magic 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where, I'm going to spoil a little bit, but it happens in the first bit of the book. They find out they're part of a computer program. And these little, like, hacker guys. All of them end up doing something stupid with all the power they have. And they have to run. And they, through, you know, a series of events that are sort of set up for them to catch people like them in this net of safety, they end up going to medieval England to pretend that they are wizards. Because that's the only place that they figure they can use these powers they have. Because they're able to manipulate the code in the computer system. So it's people from current times who hacked their way into a computer and then gave themselves magical powers. I'm quoting.
Quote, quote, quote.
And then went back to medieval times to practice as a group of wizards. Okay. What is that?
That's like a weird amalgamation of sci-fi and fantasy.
Yes, because there actually is a subgenre of fantasy that is called science fantasy.
So it's science fantasy?
It would be science fantasy. Or honestly, probably like comic fantasy also, which is another subgenre because it's like to be humorous.
Okay.
If it's like intent is to be humorous.
It is very
and
funny,
to kind
very
of poke
funny.
Fun at like tropes of fantasy. 100%. Then
yeah.
Comic fantasy.
Comic. I'm going to write that down because I think that my favorite. I'm jumping ahead. I'm sorry. I think my favorite genre of fantasy is comedy. Like Discworld is what I've been playing with my pen. I'm sorry. The Discworld series.
Right in the
Discworld series is one of my favorite things, you know, for fantasy. That's fantasy as well.
Yeah,
right?
So that's another fantasy. Okay. And that would be comic fantasy. Because, like, you mentioned Magic 2.0 in the first episode, so I wrote a little bit about comic fantasy.
I'm going to mention Magic 2.0 in every episode.
Okay. So, I
kind of figured that was, you're going to tie it in.
I love it.
No matter what it is.
I can't wait to figure out how to tie it into horror, you know? True
That'll
crime.
Be a fun
I'm going to have to figure out. I'm going to have to find, like, the author's family members who have committed a crime so I can
Justin's
leave it.
Justin's going to be sitting in his little study at home with, like, the red string all over the walls, like, just drawing.
Everything comes back to Magic 2.0.
It's very meta. Maybe they wrote it into the actual world. Maybe it's the true story of us.
Exactly.
We don't know
story
yet.
It's the Matrix.
It's the Matrix. And I mean, you give examples like Discworld and also Robert Asprin with his Myth Enterprise or Myth Adventures.
Myth Adventures.
So, okay.
MYTH. Just
YTH?
MYTH. Right?
Yeah.
Myth Adventures.
Oh, okay.
It's a play on words, but also not.
And it's also confusing.
Yes.
Would the woad to wooin be considered?
Definitely.
That sounds, is that like a Kill the Farm Boy thing?
I think so. I feel like it is.
I don't have any idea what the book is about. I just love the title so much that it never leaves my brain. Yes.
I recently tried to read a book called Witches Are Crazy. And, you know, it was a little slow going, but the titles, you know, that silliness. The Kill the Farm Boy. It's on my list too because it's one of the funny, you know.
It
have you guys
heard,
did you listen to Heads Will Roll? The Kate McKinnon did a fantasy audiobook for Audible only. It's one of their originals.
Oh, okay.
It's super fun. It's her and her sister, and it's just fantasy comedy, and it's hilarious. She's like the evil witch who, or the evil queen who doesn't, you know, care about people or know about people. It's a lot of fun.
I love Kate McKinnon.
Do you?
She's hilarious.
You should listen to that for sure if you get a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys go on Audible or not.
I mean, not as much as I should.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I wish. We are starting to get audiobooks, right? We're able to sell audiobooks, and so I'm looking forward to going to a smaller, you know, way of listening to audiobooks and less, you know, super big business just because I like to contribute to my local bookstores so that they have the money to stock the books I want to buy.
Right.
We have a shop on Libro.fm if anybody wants to go buy audiobooks from us.
Yes.
There's a link tree in the description of this video. You can follow it to our Libro.fm shop.
Your voice got real announcery. That was really nice. You just dropped right in there. That's clean. Yeah.
That's how the whole outro for this episode sounds.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so we've got...
I mixed up my pages, sorry.
Oh, no, Sarah.
Well,
dare you?
That's a lot of pages. I feel...
Sarah, you realize that this is only supposed to be 45 minutes, right?
We've covered some of this already because you guys went off topic. You went outside of my outline, okay?
Okay. And so we know what fantasy is. We know what urban fantasy is. We know what contemporary fantasy is.
Yeah.
We know what science fantasy is.
Science
is that?
Fantasy, yeah.
And comic fantasy.
And comic fantasy. So what else is there? What?
Oh, gosh.
High fantasy.
High fantasy.
Low fantasy.
High fantasy is like...
Tolkien.
Huh?
Tolkien.
totally, that's like super complicated
stuff,
right?
So it's usually like a big epic quest to save the world or something. Yes, because it's called high fantasy or epic fantasy. So it's epic, usually, okay. It's usually like world encompassing.
Those are harder for me. That's part of the reason I never was able to get into fantasy. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with names.
Sure.
Everybody's names, even if they're really simple. Mm-hmm. Like you two, your names got me for a while because one of you doesn't have an H at the end and one of you does. Oh. And I can never remember which one it is. And so I just try not to say your names or type them.
If it makes you feel any better, my grandmother, who has known me my entire life, often omits the H at the end of my name. So
it's just very
I'm scary very for used me. To it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that
same they, with the they H on the end of my name. People they put always the H. put the H on the end of my name. Yeah.
I just got called Jason for my whole life. Like, oh. I feel like at a certain like time in our timeline, right, the word Justin was invented. But before that, it was Jason. Mm-hmm. And yeah, old folks called me Jason forever. Mm-hmm. It's just Jason. Hmm. Jason. It's Justin. Okay, Jason.
It's the T. They have a hard time saying it with the false teeth.
They have a hard time saying it without applesauce spraying out of their mouth.
I'm sorry for any of our older listeners. That was not aimed at you at all. Just a joke.
I'm not. Congratulations on being old.
Yeah.
Good times.
No.
Yeah. I can't wait to be old.
I can't wait to have my hair go gray so I can dye it crazy colors without having to bleach it.
I have wanted gray hair.
I'm so excited about it.
Since I was young. And I'm starting to get like white hairs in my temples and I'm pretty excited about it. I just want to be old so that kids stop talking to me, you know? What? That's what happens, right? Like everybody starts leaving you alone.
Yeah,
I want to be the forgotten age.
Unless you're a kid like I was a kid, because I didn't have a lot of friends my own age. Oh, let me tell you the sad story about my childhood. No, but my parents were a lot older. Like my parents were in their 40s when I was born.
Oh, okay.
So I knew all their friends who were all really old people. Especially when you're 6 years old, everybody's ancient right. all the time.
Yeah.
So I hung out with people that were 40, 50, 60 years older than me all the time. And I was just like, those are my friends. That's my friend group. And I'd see older people and just be like, oh, hi, want to be my friend? And just like, that was, yep.
Yeah. You'll get a big old, don't talk to me, I'm eating from me. That's, get out of here, kid. Yeah.
And then I'd offer to bring you like seconds if you wanted. Seconds.
Well, then we'd be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an easy sell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need some more bread? Do you want me to go get you a cup of water? Like that was the kid that I was. Yeah,
I would like two more baskets of bread, please. I don't care whose table you take them off of. You're a kid. You won't get in trouble. Go get it.
All right. Sorry. We got off topic again, Sarah. This is going to be the theme of this episode.
It's going to be the
theme. I'm going to change your title of this episode to Bread Baskets.
I don't care whose table they're on. Okay. Where were we?
Okay.
We were
epic fantasy and high fantasy.
Which are, I think, what most people think of when they, was the first thing that they think of when they think of fantasy would be.
And I've never read one of those. Mm-hmm. I think we've had this talk before. The names are super hard for me.
Okay, yeah.
Like, the first James Bond was really hard for me to read. Because of the French names, like just I can't take in a word like that and just apply it to the world that I'm building somehow.
Gotcha.
My brain isn't good like that.
I pretty much always end up pronouncing the names wrong in my head.
Oh yeah,
100% of the time. I'll be like, oh yeah, this character, that's their name, and then it turns out that their name was something completely different, and I just pronounced it.
But doesn't everybody do that? Isn't that like the one of the famous stories from? The Name of the Wind.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that last time.
Yeah.
The audiobook guy, like, switched it halfway through.
The narrator said it all the way until, like, the part of the book where they explain how to say the name. And then he says it the right way after that. That's you know, it's hard. Yeah. Words are hard.
Words are hard, yeah.
Names are really hard.
And made up words, yeah.
Made up
words. Made up words are harder.
All words are made up words, Sarah.
I didn't even get that.
Yeah. She was looking at me like I was going to say it because I had it loaded up, but she got it, so. I'm glad. I'm glad that it came from a sneak attack from the side. You weren't ready for it.
No.
You're welcome. Okay. So what's low fantasy then?
I didn't do any research on what low fantasy is, so I have no idea. The opposite of that is small, so, character driven. Yeah, I don't know.
From my understanding, I didn't do any research on this. So like, hey, not an expert, guys. We talked about this on the first episode. None of us are experts. It is kind of the opposite of the epic fantasies. It's very small, centered, character-driven fantasy that the story can be told in one normal-sized novel instead of
800 pages.
An encyclopedia that's like 150,000 words long, and then you need 3 volumes of it to tell it. It's very start to finish standard hero journey, but still in the kind of magical made up world, just a smaller scale.
Gotcha.
Okay.
From what I understand. Listeners, correct me if I'm wrong.
Right, yeah.
Comment on this episode. Tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about.
I want to point out that part of this title of our show is what, The Ongoing Saga of a Hipster.
Yes.
And when it came to low fantasy, you're just like, next. Like, you
know, right?
High fantasy or nothing, kids. Get out of here. Yeah. Low fantasy. I'm not going to look you up. I'm not going to check your Wikipedia page.
You're low. Yeah. I'm such a fan of 50,000 words or less novels. Mm-hmm. Like, I want a bite-sized book. Mm. I don't want something mm-hmm. that is huge. I've read a lot of really right. big, chunky books, but I feel so much more accomplished reading mm. a smaller book.
Reading a small one. Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
look, it's done. It took me a day and it's done. And then I can just move on.
Yeah. I always think of Stephen King, Green Mile. I read that mm-hmm. as it was being released in the little, because yeah, right, it was released in like 5 parts.
Yeah.
And that was, I loved how that trickled in. That was mm-hmm. like a real cool experience going to the Buttries, because right. I'm that old enough to have gone to Buttries, right? You go to the Buttries and you look in the little spinny thing of books to find it, and you yeah. take it home and you knock it out in a couple hours.
Right,
and
yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. One of my favorite, that's not on this list, urban fantasy novels is the Nightside series mm-hmm. by Simon R. Green. And it's because it is that kind of, they are so short. Mm-hmm. They're like dime store novel, probably less than 50,000 words, like maybe 30,000 words.
Like a little pulp almost.
Yeah, almost mm-hmm. pulp fiction-y. But it's this huge, expansive 30-plus book series. And they read so fast. And it's so much fun. It's super engaging. But you can just eat through it.
I love it when they have like really good world building. Like it's like a very expansive. Like one of my favorites that I just read recently is called The Black Tides of Heaven.
Ooh.
Which is a very epic fantasy, but it's only 300 pages long. Like, it's like, really short and easy to read, but it's political intrigue and like rebellion and great world traveling across whatever, doing all these adventurous things, but 300 pages. And I was like, this is amazing.
I like
that's,
it.
Yeah, yeah
I like
that's
it.
Neat.
Oh, yeah. I had the reason I titled that the episode as it was is because I walked into work the other day and Anna was processing. an order for some Robert Jordan books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, not to go all hipster on you, but like, I read that before it was a TV show because now it's a TV show and it's flying off the shelves.
What's a TV show?
The Wheel of Time.
Oh.
By Robert Jordan.
I didn't know it was a TV show now.
It's being made into a TV show and now it's just flying off the shelves everywhere. And I read that when I started reading it when I was in high school because it's good.
So I have a question then. Mm-hmm. So this is a specific Wheel of Time question. Mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of people who read the Wheel of Time. A lot of my friends read, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't know what else to talk to people about. And so that's how I make friends.
Yeah.
I have never had the Wheel of Time suggested without like this look of, I don't know if you know, it's good, but you know, it's a lot of books and it's a lot of reading. And you know, I get a lot of hemming and hawing and eesh and like, it's not a real great way to talk me into reading those books.
No, right?
Is that how you recommend them?
It is. Yeah. It is. I put a lot of caveats on it because he's very wordy and it's 14 books long and there are a good 3 novels right in the middle, like 7, 8, and 9, where nothing happens and you should just skip them. No. Like, and like...
so that's like a whole thing, but yeah. But you love them.
But I still love them. And I don't know if it's like nostalgia because I started reading it was in high school. But he also did this thing where the first book is about the 3 main characters. By book 6, there's 15 or 20 main characters constantly jumping between.
That's so many people.
Yeah.
That's so many names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they regular like names? Or am I going to? No? Okay.
You're going to have to keep a ledger.
Yeah. More red string and yeah.
It's another one of those where like the last I don't know how many pages are a glossary or index.
I'm startled that it's not just 1 or 2 pages of a glossary. Yeah. Like I don't know how many pages. And she did this 1/4-inch pinch thing where you could. Mm-hmm. That's like 30 pages of glossary. I don't want 30 pages of
that's
glossary.
That's like a textbook worth of glossary. That's like going to school.
It's a lot.
I have never read the Wheel of Time series. Mm-hmm. I feel like I picked up the first book and just went. There's a lot to read in this series, mm-hmm. and then just let it
yeah.
go.
Yeah,
yeah. I think everybody's talked me out of it before I've been able to. They're just like, I don't know, like, you know, there's some problems. Well, why do you keep reading it?
It's because you know you have those few that are your favorite characters, and you just want to know what their how their story like turns out.
So it's like, you know. What is it? It's like watching How I Met Your Mother, but only watching the Marshall parts,
right? Because... yes.
Yeah, because the Marshall parts are the best parts of that show.
Yeah, they are, right? Yeah.
It's the only wholesome storyline in that entire show.
Yeah, Marshall and Lily, and they're, you know, they have some problems, but still, it's mm-hmm. it's lovely and wholesome.
They work through it, and it's good.
And every other character in there is probably pretty problematic.
Super problematic.
Yeah. So.
Extremely problematic.
Yeah. It's not going to age well, I don't think.
No, no. I used to watch that, and I loved it, and then I tried to rewatch it, and I was like, I got halfway through the first episode, and I was like, that's enough.
Oh, man.
I watched it for the first time like 2 years ago. Ooh. And the whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh God, this show is so problematic. But I was like, but I want to see how it ends. I want to know who yeah. the mother is. Yeah. I need to know. And then it ended. And I was like, ooh, no, don't like it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yep. My Erica, my wife, was really unhappy with the ending. And we went back this year on Thanksgiving and watched the Thanksgiving episodes. Mm-hmm. And Robin, the Robin and the Ted, like, love mm-hmm. story, is hyper toxic.
It's so bad, yeah.
Wow. You yeah. shouldn't make people feel like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't, yeah. It was just, anyway.
All right. We're talking about books. Okay. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about this is not a TV show. But that's like the...
not yet.
Not yet. So, but that's the thing about, I think, we're Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Time is that the first book in the series is really good, sets up a really great epic tale for these three young kids that have to go out into the world or whatever, and then I think he just didn't know where he was going with it, so it goes all over the place after that.
Hmm. But you didn't write an outline.
He didn't write an outline.
He just let the story go yeah. where it wanted to. Yeah, yeah. You can't do that. You can't lose a story like that.
Yeah. And I just want to know how it turns out for those three characters.
And you still don't know?
I still don't know.
What?
Yeah.
There are 16 books.
I know there's 16
there
books.
There are
but
three
I also
that
have
don't
them.
Matter. I understand now.
I know. Yeah. That's the thing. Is that that's the problem is I have not read any of the ones written by Brandon Sanderson because... I'm not a huge fan of Brandon Sanderson. I don't know if I would be a fan of his stuff because I've actually never read any of it, but I just can't bring myself to read it.
But you're already not a fan because he's doing something that you've worked
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Or read.
Right, rather. Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah. Specifically despite Hannah, how mm-hmm. is the Wheel of Time TV show?
Oh, it's not out yet. It's not out yet.
It's not out yet. Okay.
It's been announced and there's casting like stuff and everybody's
watch
mad
it.
About it, but I'm gonna
You're just saying wait, this wasn't a TV
it's
show
not.
Podcast.
But
so...
we're talking about the Wheel of Time, so it's relevant.
It's relevant.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Relevant.
Just because you have all the switches and stuff at your desk doesn't
just gonna mute you.
So
I will probably watch it.
Are good people being cast in it?
I think I like so far the cast. A lot of people are upset about the person. One of the mainish characters is Moraine.
Mainish.
Yeah, mainish.
Oh my goodness.
She said there were a lot of characters.
There's a lot of them.
15.
She's being cast. I forget the actress's name. I always confuse her with Sarah Paulson because they kind of look the same. But
I don't know actors' names at all, so I cannot help you.
But anyway, everybody's mad Paulson. Because she's tall and like Maureen's supposed to be short, dark-haired lady, and she's too tall, apparently. I don't know. But
should you cast characters that look exactly like the book characters? I have a hard time. I wish they cast like completely opposite-looking people. Mm. Because I have a really hard time reading a book and then watching a show.
Right.
Or if I watch a movie and then the book comes out. Or not the book. If I watch a movie and then I figure out that it was a book and I want to read the book, I have the hardest time not like...
Because then your picture is going to be the actor or the opposite. You're picturing something and then they choose an actor that doesn't look like it.
So. Yeah.
I'm so in the middle on that because sometimes I'm like, no, cast a completely different set of characters, make them completely mm-hmm. different than they are in the books. But other times if I really love a book and then they cast people that don't look like how I pictured the characters in the book, it makes me super mad.
Yeah.
I don't... I had it happen. I can't remember if it was like Bosch. I think it was the Bosch series that had one of the side characters ended up being the guy in Bloodwork and the movie Bloodwork with what's his name? Clint Eastwood. And it was really weird because I had this whole world built. I'd read a lot of the books. And then I figure out Clint Eastwood is supposed to be this FBI agent. And I have this whole world I built and the freaking Clint Eastwood's in it. And it's weird to me. Like, it's just, all of these are people I don't know. I've, like, built all these faces. I built this whole, like, individual. And then Clint Eastwood was wandering around. Like, get out of here, man.
I mean, I owe an apology to Henry Cavill because I was super mad when they cast him as Geralt of Rivia. But He did good. He did great.
What series is this?
The Witcher.
What?
The Witcher.
Oh, okay. I've never watched The Witcher.
It's good. The books are good too. The video games are great.
I need to.
Yeah, it's like
I need to. I don't know. I don't. There's a lot of books to read.
There are a lot of books to read. Okay. Alrighty.
Some samples of the genre, which I think we've touched on.
Yeah. I wrote down like a little brief history too, which I highlight a couple of examples of it. It's rooted in oral tradition, so they're like heavily influenced by mythology and legends. That's where a lot of like the magical creatures and stuff that.
Now I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, during your. So would mythology be fantasy?
See, it's a fine line because it was stuff. Mythology is stuff that people believed was true when it was written.
Okay.
So if it's something that's influenced or inspired by mythology, I would say fantasy.
So Percy Jackson and the Olympians is fantasy,
mm-hmm.
but reading about Greek mythology is not fantasy.
It's not fantasy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like if you got a book that was the history of the Greek pantheon.
So if you did a spinoff to the Greek pantheon.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're watching Aladdin versus reading 1001 Nights, you know, because 1001 Nights is traditional folklore from Islamic folklore.
Okay.
But Aladdin is inspired by characters from those folklore.
So Aladdin would be fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I'm super into fantasy. I just love Aladdin.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Jafar's beard. That's what it's all about. Yeah,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. The twisty beard. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
No, yes. That's fine. Yeah, no, that's good. Fantasy has basically been a part of literature since there has been literature. A couple of like early ones was, okay, I'm going to probably butcher the origin names for these. So Akkadian Epic of Gilgamesh,
mm-hmm.
which is like a big epic battle between good and evil,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty much a staple of like high fantasy.
Oh, I own that. I own the Epic of Gilgamesh. Oh, okay. I just haven't read it yet, but yeah. I knew it was an important book, and I saw it, I think, at a library sale right in the box.
Yep.
I'll read you in 10 years.
So Greek mythology, there was, I don't know if you can put this in there, but it's a book called The Golden Ass. And it's about a guy who's obsessed with magic, and he's trying to turn himself into a bird, but he turns himself into a donkey. Well,
it's the technical term for donkey.
For a donkey.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep it in.
Okay.
it'll slip past the senses.
Okay. And then I think one of the most well-known, I guess, for Old English would be Beowulf.
Oh,
yeah.
An
epic poem, really, but...
I don't understand Beowulf at all.
Nobody understands.
No?
Beowulf.
Okay, cool. I was a little worried, but
like
I didn't
literary
care.
Scholars say that they understand Beowulf, but they're lying.
Didn't we have this conversation last time where nobody. People say they're doing all these things on purpose? And, no, you're not.
Nobody understands anything.
I feel like for Beowulf, it was very context of the times. When it was written, it probably made sense, but we've lost some of the traditions now.
So Poe.
No.
Yeah, they use terribly...
Poe makes
terribly
absolute sense.
Short-sighted language.
Poe
from
makes so much sense.
An awkward part of time where nobody talked to each other.
All right, and so then...
Where are my F-bombs? I want to throw one at Justin.
I'm going to figure out a way to work Poe into every episode, too. It's going to be amazing.
just to make me mad.
Just anything that... Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that softball. That was an underhand pitch.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay. There's a Scottish author named George MacDonald, who's basically credited with creating what is considered modern fantasy. And his novel... I couldn't find a way to... The actual pronunciation of this is Fantasties.
Okay.
It looks like it should say fantasy, but there's an extra T in there. So
it probably is just old Scottish, right? And it probably is just fantasy.
Probably.
You gotta roll a bunch of R's though. So
you gotta put R's in there that aren't in there.
Could you please give that a shot for us, Sarah?
You need to get the brogue going right in the back of your throat. You gotta get that.
Oh gosh. No,
you're not gonna.
I'm not gonna try that.
Okay. I just wanted to ask a second time. I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to miss out if all it took was just getting a yes, you know.
So that one was published in 1858, and it's basically about a guy who gets sucked into a dreamlike world, and he has a bunch of adventures there. So, and that's kind of where the inception, I guess, of modern fantasy. But also for a really long time, fantasy was considered children's literature. Mm. So it was never geared towards adults until fairly recently. I couldn't really peg down like an exact timeline, but like, especially when pulp magazines, like there was
let's give all the credit to Mary Shelley. I'm just saying. Let's just say Frankenstein, and that was it.
We're going to save her for sci-fi, though.
Okay. She's like...
I mean, there's still like Harry Potter's fantasy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I know what fantasy means now. So. And it's a kid's book. I mean, still some of the...
Yeah, it's definitely become much more diversified now, because before it was considered exclusively for children. In fact, when Tolkien originally wrote the Lord of the Rings, a lot of critics were like, you're a fool for writing children's literature, but now it's considered a classic of adult like fantasy stuff.
Did he think he was writing it for kids?
I think so, because most of the stuff also had to be formatted for children, otherwise publishers wouldn't publish it.
I've read most of Lord of the Rings. How would he expect children to read that? What?
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. Like,
and it's also just public perception, though, too. Publishers don't believe in the work, so they call it children's literature. So
that's rude.
Yeah.
Oh man, like that would be so disappointing. Like, you write this epic book, and publishers like, yeah, we'll sell it to kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here with that. That's you're being mean.
No child will read this book.
Yeah.
No child will read this book. No.
Kids book. It's a kid's book.
It's a kid's book. Yeah.
This is a medical book, sir. What are you? Yeah, well, it sucks.
It sucks. We don't believe in it.
Children's section. Kick rocks.
Exactly. I mean, that's how children's literature was always thought of before. Whenever we talk about classics, I'm going to get excited because I was listening to a women's history podcast called What's Her Name about awesome female authors from around the same area as Jane Austen, and it was really interesting because if the publishers don't like your stuff, they market it as children's literature, which is baloney because some children's literature is really good. So
yeah, a lot of it's really good.
I've got like 4 YA titles on my list of read. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, my to be read, my big to be read is from children's.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I don't. So. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that is. I don't know. That's rude. That's too much power. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. right?
I think, yeah. It's just, I don't know. They're set in their ways. But I think it's slowly changing, though, too, because lots more people are reading YA and talking mm-hmm. about YA and stuff like that, especially with, like, Bookstagram and BookTok or whatever.
BookTok.
I didn't even know that there were.
Oh, there is. Yeah. It's the book side of TikTok, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's such a fun place to be.
I don't have any social media anymore because of stuff, right? It's not great for everybody. And so, yeah, I don't know about any of that stuff. Yep. One of our people who work here had a Bookstagram, and I was following that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I love pictures of books.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I just don't like all the, I don't know, misinformation in between pictures of books.
Right. Yeah, exactly. If it could just be pictures of books, yeah. I would. Like...
Yeah, but if that's all that the internet that's probably all I would do, except for what I was reading.
So we already talked about comic fantasy and then epic fantasy, which would be like George R. R. Martin or Patrick Rothfuss.
Can you recommend me a high fantasy book that I would be able to get through, being someone who has a hard time with those names and all of that? And all of that. See, I can't even explain. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
My favorite of high fantasy is actually The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Yeah.
I've never tried any of those.
The Hobbit is really good.
It's really good. Yeah. I think it's, like, I read The Lord of the Rings and I enjoyed it, but it's kind of it's 3 books of people walking. It's exhausting to read.
It really is.
It's like an epic, like, the fight against evil, like, and emotionally and physically exhausting to read.
like the last Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But The Hobbit is much more fun to read. Mm-hmm. The language isn't nearly as dry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a good adventure that's just a solid classic adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know why I've never read it. I think there's an intimidation factor to a book like that. I've always read and I've always been a reader, but not always a fantasy or sci-fi. I didn't really get into sci-fi or fantasy until, you know, my late 20s, maybe. But as a kid, right, there's a really defining line. The kids who understand The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, mm-hmm. and then the kids who just don't read that kind of material.
Right.
And so I think crossing over, it's kind of daunting. Like, oh, I'm going to read this. Am I going to... am I going to come out of this being the one person who talks trash about it?
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, or the person who doesn't understand it because there are a million names and mm-hmm. one of them's Bilbo, right? Like,
yeah.
You know?
I think especially that one was specifically geared more towards a younger audience also.
Okay.
So the names are short and simple, even though they're fantastical as well.
And
so,
a lot of them, like if you've seen any of the movies, mm-hmm. you already know how to pronounce the names from the movies.
Yeah. Not me, because I don't keep names like that in my head. Mm-hmm. I can't remember people's names.
They're also, I feel like Sarah said, the names in The Hobbit are a lot easier to.
Yeah.
They are a lot shorter. They're not as complicated. They're very phonetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you read it and you are like, oh, this is how phonetics work. This is how this name sounds.
Okay.
Or they have a nickname.
Or like they have
Strider,
a nickname.
Strider, which is, you know, like, okay. Yeah, so, like
you don't just have to remember Aragorn. You
yeah, exactly.
Strider.
Strider, yeah.
What are you guys saying words?
No.
No? It's intimidating though, right? Like,
yeah,
if you haven't
yeah.
read it, and yeah. especially being someone who reads.
Who's new to the fantasy genre, if you're not used to all those.
It's intimidating.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And I don't want to be the kid who didn't get, you know, I'm not a kid. I didn't want to be the grown man who doesn't understand The Hobbit. Gosh, yeah, I mean, I would be disappointed in myself if I didn't like it too. So there's a lot of pressure there. And so maybe, I don't know if I'll ever read it, just because there's so much pressure.
So
well, you don't feel any pressure from me. If you didn't like it, if you don't like it, that's fine.
You only want me to read those three books in the Wheel of Time series.
Just the three books.
I am that person that gets a lot of flack from fantasy readers because I don't, like, I love the mythology of the Lord of the mm-hmm. Rings. I love the story. I love all of it. I don't like the books.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
What? Both of you don't like them?
Nah, yeah.
Really? So I cannot like it?
Yeah.
You cannot.
You can just not like it.
Does everybody know this?
I feel like a lot of people don't know this, but you cannot like a book, even if it's a classic.
And even if it's super popular, you don't have to like the book, and that's okay. Like we said in the first episode, everybody reads books differently. Everybody absorbs different things from books. So it's okay to not like a book just because you don't like it, even if people you really like do like it.
That doesn't sound right. No. Okay, so
we'll try again next episode to explain it to you.
We will eventually get through to Justin that it's okay to not like books.
I mean, it's just that seems that book, right? Seems like it has a lot of pressure. It seems like mm-hmm. it's the foundation for fantasy for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's how they understand the world building. It's how they understand the monster, right? Orcs orcs are like mainly from Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
right? That's where they had their
Tolkien
big start.
Tolkien used the Lord of the Rings as a world building tool. Mm-hmm. He built the world that the Lord of the Rings is in the Lord of the Rings. And he was a historian and a linguist. Mm-hmm. And those books are so heavily influenced by that aspect of him that they come off really dry mm-hmm. if you're just not into that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's so much, it's just words, just so many words to say one thing.
Yeah. But then The Hobbit has Tom Bombadillo.
Yeah, it has Tom Bombadillo.
It's the greatest.
So, Sarah, why don't you like The Lord of the Rings?
I think for a lot of the reasons that Hannah was just saying, it's very dry. It's like the same reason that I don't like a lot of classic novels is because it's almost written in a different language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though it's technically in English, the translation or the meaning of words was different in that time period mm-hmm. when it was written. And so it's just exhausting to read.
Yeah. I think I was talking about books like that in the last episode and this episode. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just gonna be your thing.
It's not my thing. Just the best example I have of that, where you use language that's so, I don't know, hyper focused
mm-hmm. yeah.
that it loses some of its, I don't know, longevity.
Yeah,
its ability to last and not have to look things up. And so there's a bunch of that weird language in it.
Yeah,
I feel like the Lord of the Rings. So the books are like dictionary sized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the entirety of Lord of the Rings could have been fit into one mm-hmm. book. Still would be a hefty book, right. But like one book instead of three dictionary-sized
right.
books,
yeah.
you could have cut out so much stuff and just bam. That would have been a good one.
If they jumped on the eagles, right? Isn't that
they just, yeah.
If they, mm-hmm. yeah. One cannot walk into Mordor, but you can fly!
See, I know I have enough friends who I know the joke.
They can't fly into Mordor because the all seeing eye is constantly watching. So if they flew in through the sky, he'd still see them. Mm-hmm. That's the explanation that we're given.
I mean, that's a quick way to fill a plot hole. And you don't like the books for the same reason? It's just dry.
I find it really dry. It's, for me, it's a slog to read.
I was going
to
use that word earlier.
Yeah.
It sounds like a slog.
Like I said, I enjoy the lore and mm-hmm. the bones of the story, but getting from point A to point B is constantly just such a long-winded explanation all the time, and I just lose interest super fast. If you have to describe a scene to me in 7 paragraphs, I don't want to know about the scene anymore. I'm done. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever read Journey to the Center of the Earth?
No.
I tried to read
that. Oh, my.
One, yeah.
Hey, do you remember the language? Like, they're like, he's describing like every rock mm-hmm. and every type mm-hmm. of grass as they're walking.
Yeah.
No, we passed a patch of blue sawgrass.
There was
some gray green moss that's from the. What are you doing? Yeah. Stop it. Don't tell me about dirt. I want to know about dinosaurs.
That's what Lord of the Rings is like. Yes. But that patch of blue green grass has its own paragraph.
Oh, good.
Because we've got to know the texture and the precise color and how the sunlight filters through the grass and lands on the ground to cast a shadow. We have to know these
things. And the shadow is important.
The shadow is super important. It's a metaphor for the darkness that's taking the land.
I don't think that people can do metaphors like that. I think we're pretending the metaphor.
Tolkien can.
Tolkien
can? He makes it very obvious that
because
he's trying to do that he's writing a metaphor.
Tolkien tells you that it's a metaphor for the darkness that is overtaking
the
land.
Heavy-handed, but thank you for the explanation.
Yeah. Well, I think that's my issue with Tolkien. Is he had the story that he wanted to tell, and he wanted people to understand the story exactly like it was in his mind. So he left no room for reader interpretation. Yeah. Normally you read a fantasy novel and you get to piece the world together. You get to see it how you picture it. Like there's the author gives you hints.
Mm-hmm.
They give you footholds to do it. Tolkien goes, no. This is exactly how this person looks. This is exactly what the color of their eyes are. This is how they look when they smile. Also, these are the exact shapes that the clouds are in the sky because you need to know that because it's important for today.
I wouldn't hang out with that guy, right?
That makes me think of a lot of the way that Robert Jordan also writes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very making sure that you know what the women's dresses look like, the architecture of the building that you're standing in and stuff like that. Mm-mm. So, yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I like to have a little more freedom when I read.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't like that. That's my least favorite part of books.
Yeah. But he doesn't do that nearly as much in The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
The Hobbit is much more free-flowing.
Okay.
It's much more fun.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a very classic adventure instead of a heavy-handed adventure.
So The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. The Hobbit's where it becomes fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Didn't he write The Hobbit before The Lord of the or after The Lord of the Rings?
I believe so.
Yeah, because he already had the world established at that point. Mm-hmm. And so he could just take Bilbo and all of the dwarves and just throw them into a world that he didn't have to explain to people because he'd already created it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he got more story, less world building.
Yeah.
That. So would you change the type of fantasy that one is to the other? Or do you still call The Hobbit high fantasy?
I still think The Hobbit would be high fantasy just because of the context.
Yeah.
Like, the wordiness doesn't have to go hand in hand with high fantasy. You could have a shorter, not super short, but you could have a shorter high fantasy.
Well, that 300-page, what was it called again?
Yeah, the Black Tides of Heaven.
Black Tides of Heaven. I need to write that down, too. Yeah. This whole podcast is for me to get a book list. You guys hear me writing?
Yeah. We're listening to it. I'm gonna leave that sound clip in where you just like...
I hope they can hear how like beautiful my handwriting... It's not beautiful. It's a mush with a super inky pen in it.
Nice. So I guess we'll move on to our recommendations.
Okay.
I think we pretty much covered everything about epic fantasy anyway.
Yeah. I think we're beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
Well, since somebody didn't look up low fantasy.
Gosh, Sarah.
Could have released.
Look at all of those pages of meticulous notes.
What a hipster. Low fantasy. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I don't want you.
High fantasy or nothing.
I don't know anything about you.
I think now that we've talked, every book on my list is comic fantasy.
Oh, cool.
So
nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it's how I got into it, and it's what I have the funnest with. Yeah. There's I can't read a funny book in any other setting, really, for some reason. So it's perfect for me.
Yeah.
You want me to do? You want to do yours? You want to?
I don't know. Do you want to go first this time?
I mean, it's right here. You wanna, yeah? Okay. Yeah. So it's all the books I've already talked about, really. Mm-hmm. Magic 2.0 series by Scott Meyer. That's I'm going to recommend that to anybody because it's what got me into actually being able to breach into the fantasy world, yeah. really. The Discworld series is yeah. amazing mm-hmm. nice. And super funny and just all over the place. There's lots of different types of characters to love, and it's so fun. And the world he builds, I mean... There's like world building where they're talking about every kind of grass, but when he describes like how the sun sets on the Discworld,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's an image that I love and I want it to be so that cool. way.
I really do. Agreed.
I read up. So, okay, this one is, I think, science. I guess the first one is science fantasy, too.
Right, yeah.
But Mogworld by Yahtzee Croshaw.
Never heard of that.
A guy wakes up as a risen undead. Working for a necromancer who's
I'm so here for it already.
He's nice. Kind yeah. of a the necromancer is kind of a bad manager, really, and it's almost like okay. an office version of being a risen dead, you know, the politics of this world. It ends up being part of a more technical world, but is really, I mean, they're describing NPCs and stuff. It's super
nice.
Fun.
Nice.
Yahtzee Croshaw wrote some game stuff, but it's so good though. Mogworld.
Okay.
Kill the Farm Boy.
Yeah.
Delilah Dawson and Kevin Hearn.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heads Roll because it's just so funny. That Kate McKinnon.
Okay.
She's
okay.
amazing. And the whole thing is amazing. You should listen to it and then we should talk
okay.
about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So mine, I have a mix of stuff. So American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, mm-hmm. So good.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorites. Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik.
Oh, I want to read that so bad.
It's so good.
It's
a fantasy, it's a fairy tale retelling. So it's basically the retelling of Rumpelstiltskin. But
okay.
from the perspective of the girl who's supposed to turn straw into gold or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you read the, I'm sorry to jump in on you. Did you read the Wicked series and all that?
No, I never did. I did read a book by that same author called Hidden Sea, which
okay.
is like a retelling of The Nutcracker, which was really interesting.
I read the first book in the Wicked series. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read the second book in the Wicked series and then Mirror, Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the retelling of those stories in like a... The Wicked is a political book. So it was super, super cool. So I really, what's his name who wrote this?
McGuire. Mm-hmm. Gregory McGuire.
Gregory McGuire, yes. Yeah. I think he really opened up that world for mm-hmm. me, like the retelling in those adult ways. So
yeah.
Spinning Silver,
yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, and it's on your list of recommendations,
yes.
so I'm definitely
yes.
going to read that. More pin noises.
The Black Tides of Heaven, which is by J.Y. Neon Yang.
Okay.
They published the original book that I own is the author's name is listed as J.Y. Yang. New versions of it are just listed as Neon Yang. I don't know.
We had this discussion about where to put it on the shelves.
Right, yeah. I guess it doesn't really matter because their last name is the same, but I looked up their website actually and they go by YJ Neon Yang like fully. But like I don't know why the book is published just
for the balance of
right.
the name on the cover like that. I'm just going with
I'm
that.
Sure
like it just looks better.
Just four letters.
Yeah. But...
We're balancing with Yang. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're Yin and Yang.
Yeah.
Can I say? Okay.
There is an underhand pitch to you. There you go.
And then there's this book called Senlin Ascends. It's part of the Books of Babel series by Josiah Bancroft, which is it's about. Guy and his wife who go on their honeymoon to the Tower of Babel, and then she goes missing, and so he has to go find her.
Freaking Tower of Babel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
And it's really good. It's like steampunk, historical, epic.
Is it weird that I imagine the Tower of Babel is a mall?
No, I think that's amazing.
That's honestly kind of how it is
yeah.
in the book.
What else are you going to do with a building that big?
Right?
Nothing.
I'm sure there are merchants. Somebody's selling like little summer sausages out of a little kiosk, right?
Yes.
Somebody's got to be there selling sunglasses.
There's at least one person
desert.
That just has all the rugs.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And then the little, what are the posters where you have to stare at it and then the image pops out?
Yes.
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 The Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw it like as a mall. Yeah.
She went shopping for a skirt or something and went missing. So.
Yeah. Well, the skirt was too short.
Yeah.
Blasphemy ensued.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
But anyway, it's really good. And it has a gorgeous cover. It's beautiful. So I like it. I did my recommendation for somebody getting into the genre. Does anybody else have any other recommendations for somebody new to the genre?
I would say Magic 2.0 or Discworld.
Yeah, Discworld.
Those are really nice. The Discworlds are short and super fun. You just can't not have fun.
Yeah.
Piggybacking off of Spinning Silver, my recommendation was Rose Daughter by Robin McKinley. And it is a retelling of Beauty and the Beast, but it's a really beautiful, dark, magic version of it that has a great twist ending, so I won't spoil it, but highly recommend if you like fairy tales and you like fantasy stuff. Definitely read it.
That sounds amazing.
I like that. I was just thinking, I think I like the fairy tale and fantasy because it mixes like a world I know and language I know, and it makes it like a little easier for me to dip my toe in.
Yeah.
So that sounds good too.
I love that book. It's one of my favorite books.
There's so much that could be told in the Beauty and the Beast, right? Like, you could do so much with that story.
And I think Robin McKinley did just the most amazing job at retelling it. I've read so many retellings of Beauty and the Beast because it's one of my favorite fairy tales.
Really?
And this one is by far my favorite. She just, the language she uses to describe stuff and the characters that she's built are so familiar and yet so different than anything I've ever read, and I appreciate that so much.
I'm going to read that.
How about everybody's to-be read list? Do you have a to-be read list?
I actually, on topic, I just got a box set. A good friend of mine recommended the Chronicles of Prydain.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
I've never heard of that one.
No? It's by Alexander Lloyd. It's a little, I think I got a 6-book set. It's a YA fantasy. Huh. And it looks good. It looks really good, so I'm excited to read that.
A lot of my favorite fantasy is YA stuff.
I love a lot of YA stuff, just period. It's, I don't know. I don't, now that I know the difference is arbitrary, that it's just some jerk, you know, like, hey, there's not a bunch of sex in here and it sucks. So, no.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't suck. It's great.
It's great, exactly.
Their taste sucks.
Yeah, they just don't know it's good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the one I have for that. I've got other books on my list, but that's my fantasy up to read, and it's high on my list. I'll probably be in it in the next week or two.
Very nice.
Is high on the list because that list can get
right.
It's so long that you delete it from Goodreads.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can. I actually have, we talked about my Christmas book that I got last episode. Yeah. It's called The Sleeping Dragon, and I actually moved it to the top of my reading list, to my to-be-read list, because it sounds super fun. It's by Joel Rosenberg, and I reread the back. It's one of those books where it's a D&D game, and they get trapped in the world that they're playing their game in. Excuse me. I smacked my mic around. So it sounds super fun. And it sounds really funny. It sounds like comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds fun, too.
I love that.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Mine is Black Leopard, Red Wolf by Marlon James, which is mythic retelling about but it's also contemporary, kind of, I think. Or maybe it was historical. But anyway, it's like a mercenary who's hired to find a missing child, but as far as I understand it, it involves a lot of African mythology and stuff like that.
I think we have a advanced reading copy that's signed of it.
Yeah, we do.
In the store. Uh-huh. Yeah, we have a super nice copy.
Very
of that
nice.
Book.
Yeah.
The rights were sold to the guy who played Black Panther in the Marvel comic universe. The movie rights were, so that was looking like that's going to be on the horizon. So
that'll be so cool.
I did have, and then another one called The Invisible Life of Adie LaRue by V. E. Schwab. Which is like about this lady who she wants to live forever, so she makes a deal with a thing, so she'll live forever, but she won't be remembered by anyone. So it's like, 300 years of her living by and always being forgotten by everybody she meets until one day she like meets somebody who remembers her. It sounds really interesting.
That sounds really interesting.
The isolation, sounds like almost isolation horror. What's the genre of that?
That one, they described it as historical fantasy.
Okay.
So it traverses 300 years, and it actually uses actual historical artists and stuff like that pop up in it.
But okay. I like when they do that, when they spin those like long stories and like, oh, he was in the Civil War too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
I knew it.
Vampire Lestat.
Yeah. Vampire. Cool. All right.
We got a book club?
Yes, we have a book club. Corrections Corner, I guess, kind of. Mexican Gothic, which is the current book club book that we're reading. I thought it was an anthology, and it's actually just one book. I thought it was an anthology. I don't know why.
Sarah, you're in charge of things.
No.
I mean, but there's one author name.
Right? There's only one author name. I thought it was a collection of her short stories or something, but no. Turns out it's just one story. So, but you know, everybody who's Leah, my sister, is reading it, and she says it's really good. So I haven't heard from anybody else who's reading it yet, but I have to wait for her to finish because we only have one copy that we're sharing. Wow. So
tell her to hurry up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I happen to know where you could get another copy.
I mean, that's true. I could get. There's going to be a new poll up the end of this week for our next book club selection.
So the weekend before this episode posts, yes, there's going to be a new poll.
Okay. So I don't know when this is going up, so either look for it, or maybe it's already done and we'll announce the new book. I don't know. Sorry, everyone. How about currently read?
Go for it. You've got the longest list.
I don't actually right now, because there's only two books that I'm currently reading. Smoke by Joe Ide, the new IQ book came out.
Oh, okay.
And so I stopped my whole life to read the IQ book. And I found a Veronica Mars book.
Nice.
I love Veronica Mars, the show. It's like all high school noir. It's great. Nice. You guys watch Veronica Mars?
Actually, no, I've never seen any of that.
It's super high school noir. Like, okay. It's mystery and it's great. And I watched the series, and then I watched one of the movies, and I haven't watched the new series. Veronica Mars, The Million Dollar Timeline, and it's a book that comes in right after the movie that was the series. So I'm glad I waited to watch the new series, because I think in between it.
Ah, there you go.
And I'll stop reading everything sometimes just to read the new book that comes out in the series that I want to read, because I can do what I want.
Yeah. Do whatever you want.
So I'm still slogging away at the Welcome to Nightvale book, because I just read it in chunks.
Sure,
Are you savoring it?
I am, but at the same time, Nightvale is weird enough that I do need breaks in between.
Okay.
Because it's real bizarre kind of stuff. But I actually just picked up Speaking of Fairy Tales. Oh my gosh, there's so many of these on my list right now. The House of Salt and Sorrows by Aaron A. Craig. It's a retelling of the 12 Dancing Princesses mixed in with a ghost story.
Ooh.
And I literally just started reading it like 2 days ago, so I'm only like 4 pages in. It seems really great so far, and I'm really excited to see where it's going.
That title is amazing.
Yes, the title and the cover are actually what made me look at it, because I was like, what is this? It looks so beautiful. And then I read the back, and it's basically the 12 Dancing Princesses retold as a ghost story, and I am so excited about it.
Nice. You know that you can't judge a book by its cover. Like, I think you can.
I have had at length conversations about this, how that phrase was coined back when all books were very plain and there wasn't a lot. Like, sometimes
were all books ever plain? I work with like rare books a lot, and they're gilt, they're marbled edges, they're the frontispieces, they're just beautiful.
But those were the people that could afford to get their books published that way.
Okay.
There were a lot of people who could only afford to get them bound, you know, very, very rudimentary, just enough to keep them together. There was, and so the whole point was, just because a book is fancy doesn't mean it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so I have this opinion about people sometimes too, even, right?
Yeah.
When I was, if the book is good, right, people will put more production into it, more of that production value, more of that money.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to pay more attention to it. It's going to have a higher budget, right? When things are well taken care of, it's usually because somebody thinks they're deserving of being well taken care of. And they put that extra effort in. So a great cover, if you have a great, great artist come out and do some of your sci-fi covers, I'm going to guess that he thought it was worth his time. Everybody thought it was worth the time to put this art together.
So as somebody who's looked into publishing, because I do have some books that I would like to self-publish, it's so expensive to do that. And when you're somebody that's a small, like, I don't have a lot of money to do that kind of stuff. I can't afford to pay somebody a lot of money to do cover art.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford the thousands of dollars that would take. I can't afford to pay the thousands of dollars to get it bound really nicely, that kind of stuff. So if I were to self-publish, it would probably be a trade paperback. The art wouldn't be great. It would be a very plain looking book, because $500 is about my max for what I could spend to publish.
And I'm not saying, I don't know your writing, right? Yeah, I've never read anything you've written. But I'm saying, right, that the people who are, you know, Mozarts with pen, right, aren't self-publishing sometimes.
Yeah.
And are, you know, have people throwing money at those covers and having them throw money at those versions of those books.
Well, then you've got the issue like Stephen King, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, Stephen.
It doesn't matter what he writes. People are going to dump money into making his books look good, even if he writes trash.
Ooh.
Like, Stephen King could write a book that just has one word on every page, and his publisher would probably still dump a bunch of money into it, because it's Stephen King, you're going to make the money. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So
I read a book like that from Chuck Palahniuk.
Yeah.
It was awful. And I don't know. It felt like he was being mean to readers. But
Chuck can be mean to readers, but yeah. I love his books.
Pygmy? Have you guys read Pygmy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was hard.
But I get it.
There's pain in your voice. Yes.
But I think that's kind of where it comes from, is like sometimes there's really, really great books that just haven't been discovered yet.
Yeah.
Or people who try to get their works published, but the market for that type of book is so flooded that the publishers just won't even give them a chance.
Okay.
And so they have to go a smaller press publishing. They have to go self-publishing. They have to do this thing. And so their books maybe don't look great, but so they're great content.
Don't judge ugly books by their cover, but I can still judge pretty books by their cover.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, 100%.
Okay, so just don't judge books negatively.
Yeah.
Right. I got it.
Judge books by their content.
But I mean, man, I see a good cover, though. I know it's going to... I mean, if I had some gilt edges, some leather bound...
I mean, a good cover
bound...
will definitely draw me in.
Yeah.
But
it's like the whole you eat with your eyes first thing. Mm-hmm. You see it and you're like, ooh, I want to see what that book is about. Yeah. But I've picked up some books with really pretty covers that I was super disappointed in, so...
I don't know. I don't think I have. I don't know. Okay. Don't judge all books by their cover.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think... We're going to have to talk about
this
again.
You can judge book covers, but don't judge the con. I don't know. Don't judge the content. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that one, but
I need to think about it more. I didn't know that you guys would disagree so firmly on this. So I'm just gonna have to keep chipping
away. I just know
a lot
of self-published people who can't afford good art or fancy pages. Or
but if that book got self-published and it was amazing and it got pulled forward, it would get a nice version.
Yeah,
eventually it would.
But there's the several years of struggling to get anybody to even pick it up before you.
Okay, so you don't want people to not pick the book up because then it can't gain the traction.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is give self-published books a chance.
I absolutely will. How do we do that? We should figure that out. I don't know where to find self-published books well and easy.
Well, like, we don't have, like, a local author section, but we do have I have a display of, like, new local authors that are coming into the store. Or you can ask at your local bookstore
if you have a local bookstore, check with your local bookstore,
definitely.
Because most small authors in your community are going to go there first and ask them if they'll carry their books. Sometimes Barnes & Noble features local authors as well.
Okay.
If you unfortunately don't have a small local bookstore, because they are kind of hard to find now.
Mm-hmm.
I hate toting Amazon ever, but they do have a Amazon publishing house where they let people self-publish books and print on demand.
Okay.
So that's a good place.
I think the local bookstore, that's where I'm going.
I would
to
go
that.
First. Okay. I would go local bookstore first.
And just go to where I work and ask the people I work with.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I will now I've been convinced to read some self-published stuff. And
I should have written it, because we did just have a local author come in and I bought her book from her, because she's got a sequel coming out next month, so she's brought the first book in the series, and I wish I could read. I should have written it down, but I didn't think we'd I didn't think we'd talk about this topic, so
you didn't think I'd take you down this road.
Yeah, okay. I'll have it for the next pod.
Okay.
I'm not currently reading any fantasy right now. I picked up an ARC copy from the store, which is an advanced reader copy of a book called it's got a really terrible name, called Daddy 3.0.
That is a terrible name.
Which I kind of thought it was going to involve, like, a robot.
Did you? That's what you thought?
Something like that, but it's just, like, a guy trying to be a house husband and raise his two kids.
That's not where my head went when you said Daddy 3.0.
Yeah. I know.
I didn't
know
what
you... terrible. It's got a terrible name. I'm sorry. But it's humorous.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, are you done with the book yet? It might still get creepy.
It might still get creepy. I don't know. I still have like a third of it left.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, exactly.
I just want it to be creepy so you get uncomfortable. Because that, you know, you. That's what makes me happy.
Love it.
All right. I think that's everything for this this episode. Thanks for joining us. And thanks for being here, Hannah and Justin.
Absolutely. Thank you. I love talking with you guys. It's so much fun.
Me too. Bye.
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 You've been listening to The Word Warren on AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventure Underground at their online store or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows and soon many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.